quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. Tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain. We broadcast on unceded territories of the Hencomenum-speaking peoples and the Squamish-speaking peoples. And this episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded Hencomenum-speaking peoples territory and Halkomelem-speaking people's territory. At Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. I'm Leslie. You just heard Red Sea Disco by Tutard. We ended the show last week with that song, and I wasn't able to finish playing all of it because time ran out. So what a great way to start off today's episode. It is yet another Office Hours show where it's basically mostly music. But today is Office Hours Plus because I have some fleeting thoughts that I just need to air out to someone really. And it's not therapy week. Like usually I have therapy every couple of weeks. It's not therapy week this week, so I need to air this out to someone, and what a better way to do it than on public radio. Before we start with the thoughts though, here is more music on this Office Hours playlist, in which I'm just sharing songs that I've been listening to throughout the week because I've been working a lot and I haven't really had time to create an actual radio show. So it's a mishmash of music. Here is a classic by Anna Monoguchi. Her name is Miku. Miku, Miku. That was Ibna Min Gidin by Al Masri'in. And before that, you heard Jello by New Age Dolls. My name is Leslie, and you're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You ever feel sentimental about nature? I do. I do all the time, actually. I think probably that started around-ish, maybe around the time I started bird watching. And bird watching just gave me the opportunity to take things slowly in life and to feel in a somatic way like I am grounding myself, I'm re-grounding myself. And it's been really helpful to be in nature and to like do bird watching and stuff whenever, especially I'm having a really tough time or I just have been trapped in the hustle and bustle of capitalism and needing to do things and life, and I haven't had the opportunity to actually take care of myself and look around my surroundings and things like that. And so when I see, you know, other people who are kind of like actively trying to exploit the land and like make the world, the natural landscapes, inhabitable for life. It really, you know, it really does a number on my system and my mental health. And I've been thinking about this particularly because you may have seen on the internet there are some people who have been using AI generation systems such as ChatGPT to create images that are of the style of Studio Ghibli films, particularly the character design styles of Hayao Miyazaki. And it's upsetting for a number of reasons, because Miyazaki himself, one of the reasons is because Miyazaki himself, similar to me, has been a big fan of nature. He is a huge advocate for like protecting the environment and sustainability. Many of his works that were published by Studio Ghibli, including the works of his colleagues at Studio Ghibli, such as Isao Takahata, their works have been about living with nature, about being connected to the land, and many times a large driver of conflict in some of those stories, such as Pompoko or Princess Mononoke, they are about the strife and chaos that is caused by humans who destroy the land, and the way that the living things on in nature kind of become displaced. In Pompoko, that's the community of Tanuki. In works such as Princess Mononoke, it is about the spirits. It's like, one, it's really uncomfortable to see a person like Miyazaki's work being used in these horrible AI generation machines. The work is getting stolen, and the environmental impact that AI and ChatGPT have are really, really devastating. Like, gallons and gallons of water are used to power these machines. Huge swaths of land are cut down in order to build these systems, these actual like computer systems that allow for these images to be created, allow for even other creative works, or not creative works, but other media to be created, and in an incredibly unartistic way. But there are a lot of other reasons why it can be quite upsetting. I know that's a lot to load onto you today, and I promise, like, mostly just like music. So we're gonna listen to some more music while I stew on some more thoughts and I expose more of my vulnerabilities to you again. Office hours today is really about missing my therapist. Anyways, here is a new release from a band who I have just been, has just been put on my radar. They're called Koolfy Girls, and I believe they're from the States. This next track coming up is called Divinity off of their, I believe, debut EP called Divinity. It is of the same name. But first, speaking of birds and speaking of nature, here is a bird note. Enjoy.
This is Bird Note. The world is full of poisonous creatures. Some butterflies, beetles, and frogs use bright colors to warn birds and other predators that they're full of toxins. But you might be surprised to learn that some birds are poisonous too. The hooded pitahui is a bird that lives in New Guinea and eats a toxic beetle. The pitahuis aren't sensitive to the beetle's toxin, so they can accumulate large amounts of it in their skin and feathers. Scientists examined the chemicals from pitahui feathers and identified the same type of toxin found in poison dart frogs. Like the birds, the frogs may also gain their chemical defenses from eating insects. But pitahuis aren't the only birds that pack a toxic punch. When ruffed grouse eat a plant called mountain laurel, they pick up a poisonous compound that can make them an unappetizing meal for a fox or a human hunter. And quail in the eastern hemisphere sometimes snack on hemlock, turning them into a very upsetting dinner item. Many predators like to eat birds, making the world a pretty dangerous place for them. But evolution has made some birds a little dangerous, too. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
has gone on.